All right. Democratic Governor Tony Evers' spokeswoman calling a Republican proposal to limit his partial veto powers a temper tantrum. Republicans introducing a constitutional amendment to prohibit the governor from increasing funding levels in bills that appropriate money. But how many governors over the years in Wisconsin have done this kind of thing? Joining us on this segment of the show, the Assembly Democratic leader, State Representative Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh. Good morning.
Good morning.
Pleasure having you on the program. What was your reaction when you heard that Republicans were introducing this?
Well, I mean, it doesn't get more transparent than this. They're only interested in changing the laws or amending the Constitution when they don't like who's in the governor's office. It was never a problem as long as their governor was able to do whatever he wanted. But, you know, we had the attack on democracy in December where they changed the laws to undermine a democratically elected governor before he was sworn in. And now, after his first budget, exercising the same power that he was elected to have, that Republican governors have had, they want to amend the Constitution. And again, the rules of democracy, the laws, the Constitution that governs the people of the state shouldn't change depending on who's in power because you don't agree with that person. And these guys have shown no limit to how far they're willing to go to increase power and to erode that of someone they disagree with.
Let me ask you this. When the governor used his partial veto powers to increase funding for K through 12 schools, that doesn't mean the budget increased by $65 million, right?
That's correct. So, you know, while it is a complicated process and there may be a discussion, you know, objectively, if you wanted to have over whether the governor should have this ability, it shouldn't be based upon who the governor is. And that's what's so transparent about this action. But no, it's not new money. It is simply crossing out, reworking, amending, giving flexibility with the existing dollars and directing it or redirecting it in this case to schools, you know, through some creative means. And so I think there were fewer vetoes, fewer complicated vetoes than we've actually seen under Republican and past Democratic governors.
Right. Tommy Thompson did this. Jim Doyle did this. Scott McCallum did this. Governor Scott Walker did this.
Yes, and they did it a lot more extensively than Governor Evers did in his first budget. I think that one thing that I think struck some people was that it was a relatively modest amount of vetoes and changes to the budget.
All right. Where do you see this going? Do you how much support? Obviously, I should probably talking to a Republican lawmaker about this, and I will, but what's your sense of where this is going to go?
Well, the legislature would need to pass it in two consecutive sessions. So I think it's likely that we could pass it in this legislative session. And then the next legislative session, it may be, you know, they'll look at what the lay of the land is, but obviously they're not going to want to do this if there's going to be a Republican governor. And so I don't think they're going to re-amend the Constitution. But, you know, in their minds, if there's a chance that Tony Evers is going to be governor for, you know, six more years or, you know, eight more years, they're going to probably want to do everything possible to take away his power. And then maybe when a Republican's in there, they'll try to amend the Constitution again to give them power.
Did this come as a surprise to you and other Democratic lawmakers? Or had you been hearing?
No, I mean, look, these guys did one of the two single most biggest attacks on democracy in our nation's history in December. I mean, that got international headlines. What they did was an absolute attack on democracy when they went in after an election to take away the power that Governor Evers and Attorney General Call were elected to actually do before that they were sworn in. I mean, look, they didn't like unions, so they got rid of unions. They didn't like Shirley Abrahamson as Chief Justice, so they amended the Constitution to get rid of her. You know, they didn't like that they couldn't spend unlimited corporate money in our elections, so they changed the campaign finance laws to do that. They didn't like it that voter turnout was up, so they made it harder for people to register and to vote. You know, they didn't like having competitive elections, and so they rigged our elections to make sure there was no accountability for the decisions by having partisan redistricting to a level we've never seen before. So this is par for the course where the priority is not the public interest. It's simply about consolidating power at every turn.
Do you, so this news of this constitutional amendment came out yesterday. What are you hearing about Republicans possibly looking at trying to override one or more of the governor's partial vetoes? And that would be a tall task. But is there, are you hearing anything about that?
Yeah, I haven't. I mean, I think the speaker said to the press that they would consider overrides in October. But, you know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure how much attention there's been on a lot of them. I mean, both sides seem to find things they like and don't like that are in the final budget. And the school funding, you know, may bother some people. But at the end of the day, you know, the proportional to the whole budget, I don't know how significant it was.
Is there anything specifically that you think Democrats and Republicans could possibly agree with on voting to override? Is there anything the governor did that both Republicans and Democrats didn't like?
I don't think so. I mean, I was grateful that the governor took the steps that he could to improve the budget, especially when it came to public education and obviously getting rid of some of the most gratuitous earmarks, you know, that were in there to secure votes. I think, you know, there's some things that should be viewed as standalone legislation or considered in other ways. And so I just, you know, no. I mean, there are a couple things that I may have supported, but I understood why the governor did what he did. But I don't think there's any support on our side for an override.
The governor said he vetoed a provision that would have allowed Tesla to sell directly to consumers instead of through dealers because it was a payoff to get a vote. That was specifically Senator Chris Kupenga of Delafield, who was threatening to vote against the budget.
Yeah, I mean, so there's been standalone legislation on that in past sessions, and I think that is a complicated issue that definitely deserves a hearing, and there are merits to both sides of the argument, you know, in terms of existing law related to auto dealers and a new model like Tesla. There's also things under an existing law that would allow Tesla to get a waiver under that, but I don't think the budget was going to be the right place for that, and obviously the senator in question, it seemed pretty transparent that it had something to do with securing his vote. And he seemed very upset at his press conference when he talked about it.
Right. All right. I'll get you out on this. What overall, what was your impression of how the governor went about using his partial veto pen? And did he do anything different with that partial veto pen, the way he went about using it, than previous governors?
You know, I'm not, it's been a busy 2 weeks. I don't know that he did anything different other than, you know, there seemed to ultimately be fewer. I mean, you said earlier, you can't add new money. You can move some money around, but obviously the big parts of disagreement between the governor's budget and what was passed in the legislature had to do with the Medicaid expansion, had to do with the level of special education funding, and had to do with the, you know, sustainable transportation, you know, proposal that was in the governor's budget versus what was in there. And so those were sort of the three pillars, and those didn't change dramatically. But, you know, I think smart, detailed people review these things, look at realistic options to, you know, it's probably more things are probably deleted and amended, you know, than our, you know, some of the things that we saw. Remember, the voters of this state amended the Constitution, which I supported, to get rid of what we call the Frankenstein veto, where you had whole new words that were created, where you would cross out letters and numbers and other things to create new appropriations that Governor Doyle and Governor Thompson utilized, which, you know, was legal, but I think was a violation of what, you know, everybody would say is not right, even if we agreed with some of those things. And so I don't think there was anything, you know, new or different. They did a good job. They did a thorough job. They were working on this probably for weeks when they kind of saw, you know, what the opportunities would be. But I don't think it was gratuitous. I think it was responsible, and I think it was transparent.
All right. Assembly Democratic Leader Gordon Hintz of Oshkosh, always a pleasure having you on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me, Greg.